yourself a moment.
Thank you. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Ken Robertson. I'm a Gideon. The Gideons, as you may know, were established in 1899. What you may not know is that the Gideons are not just about putting gospel tracts out in churches, in hotels, places like that. What we're really about is saving souls. That's what the Gideons are about. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you a little bit about what the organization is comprised of. We are about professional men and women. We live in the areas where we serve. We generally are comprised of we're in 200 different countries. We hand out tracts in about 90 different languages. Last year alone, we handed out 85 million scriptures. The scriptures we have, or we hand out about 2 scriptures per second every day. That's important to know. 2 scriptures per second every day. We've handed out 2 billion scriptures since the organization was started in 1899. 2 billion scriptures. We are organized, as I've said, in more than 200 different countries. And as you know, we distribute scriptures in hotels, hospitals, nursing homes, prisons, many different locations. We hand out these little scriptures to students, to soldiers. We hand them out to law enforcement, to fire personnel, to prisoners. We hand them out to anywhere we can possibly go. You notice this particular one happens to be brown. We try to put them out in camo, orange, whatever color we can get them in so that people will think they're a little bit more attractive to folks. But as we hand them out, what we try to do is we try to witness to folks. We explain God's Word. And that is the major purpose of our ministry. In addition to the Gideons, we have the Gideons Auxiliary, which is comprised of our wives. Our wives are our prayer partners. We also have our sons and our daughters who also serve as our prayer partners. And my daughter is here with me today, and she's my prayer partner today. As I've said, we live where we serve. The key thing to remember is that we know our message is getting across from the testimonies that we get back from the Bibles and the small testimonies that we hand out. And I'm going to go over a few of those testimonies that we've received here recently. The first one that I'll start with is a testimony, and I imagine I've got a few deer hunters in here. I'm a deer hunter, and I'm going to go over that with you. We had a testimony from here in West Virginia this last year from deer season. We had 2 deer hunters who were Gideons, and they had harvested a couple of bucks and had taken it to a processing center. And as they were in the midst of getting their bucks processed, they had taken the buck to the gentleman who was in the midst of processing the buck and were talking about church. And the gentleman indicated that he was not a regular attendee, and they said, "Well, sir, you know, have you thought about that and where your soul might go when you pass?" And he said, "Well, you know, I do at times," and one of them had a camouflaged version of the New Testament, and he started talking to him about it and handed it to him, and he said, "Why don't you read the back with me?" And in the back, there is basically a plan of salvation. And they went over that with him and prayed with him right there, and he accepted God as his Savior. And then, as they were leaving, they ran across his wife, and they started talking to him too, or her too. And when they talked to her, she accepted God as her Savior. And then they talked to another young man out in the parking lot and went and had another testimony and talked to her. 3 folks that day accepted God as their Savior as a result of the Gideon's ministries that day. That is our primary focus, ladies and gentlemen, is not to necessarily put these testimonies out in a hotel room, but to see God's word spread to people by word of mouth and by putting the testimonies out. I understand that we are not paid for what we do. We do that because we want to do that. Now, one thing that I've heard people say is that, well, we don't know that the testimonies and the Bibles that the Gideons put out are King James versions. That's not true. They are King James versions, ladies and gentlemen. We put out King James versions. Those are the only versions that we will put out with your money. We will put those out. Now, let me share a couple more testimonies with you. There was a Swedish atheist who was talking to a Gideon not too long ago, and he was telling the Gideon, well, I don't believe in God, and I will prove to you with your own Bible that God is not real. And just give me your testament, and I'll read it for a little while, and I'll come back, and we'll have a debate, and I'll prove to you God isn't real. So the Gideon gladly gave him the testament, and he said, go to it. You take a couple of days, take as long as you want, and you come back, and we'll have a talk. Well, you may know that many intellectuals have sat down with the Bible and have tried to parse through it, and most of those intellectuals have come back as born-again Christians. And one of the most famous ones was J.R.R. Tolkien. Tolkien, many of you have heard of, who is a brilliant man. He wrote The Lord of the Rings, and you may not have seen the movies or read the trilogy, but he started out as a very, very strong non-Christian. And he set apart in his life to prove that God wasn't real. And after reading the Bible many, many, many times, he decided, I'm wrong. And he wrote The Lord of the Rings as a devotion, if you will, to the benefit of Christ. Many others have done that same thing. Well, in any event, this Swedish atheist set about trying to prove that Christ wasn't real. And after 3 or 4 weeks, he reached the same conclusion that J.R.R. Tolkien did.
Amen.
He reached the conclusion, I can't prove that he doesn't exist, and in fact, I've proved in my heart that he does. And he wrote in the back, he read the back of the scripture, and he wrote his name in the back and became a Christian. Ladies and gentlemen, that is what we're all about, is bringing souls to Christ, seeing more names added to the Lamb's book. So one more, and I think this one's particularly appropriate with Memorial Day coming up. A Gideon, not too long ago, was in the Atlanta International Airport, and he was sitting next to a young soldier who was on his way to deployment, and he found it appropriate to talk to the young man and ask him, you know, if you get killed in action, son, where will your soul go? And he said, well, he said, I think I'll go to heaven. And he said, well, why do you think you'll go to heaven? And, you know, ladies and gentlemen, as a Christian, I've had this conversation with some of my friends, and the typical answer is, well, I've been a good man or a good woman. And, you know, I've been a good husband, I've been a good friend, I've been a good this, I've been a good that. And my response was the same response as this Gideon's was, well, how good do you have to be to get into heaven? And the answer to that is always the same thing from these folks. Silence. Okay? Because they don't know what to say. So the Gideon responded, son, you can't get into heaven by works. You have to get into heaven by accepting Christ as your Savior. And I'm going to give you this testament, and I want you to read it. And I want you to go to the back, and I want you to read the plan of salvation. And I want you to have assurance that your soul will go to heaven. So the young man took that with him, and he read that, and about 3 weeks later, he sent the Gideon an email saying that he had accepted Christ as his Savior. Again, that's the end game for us. It's not how many of these we put out. It's how many souls that are saved. That's the end game. Now, you may ask, how did the Gideons come about? Okay, it's fine and dandy to know that the Gideons are there, but how did the Gideons come about? Well, back in 1899, you had two traveling salesmen. And these two traveling salesmen were selling, of all things, vacuum cleaners. And they were staying at a hotel together, and they just happened to, you know, be at the same hotel, and they were eating breakfast and started talking and decided, well, and they were both Christians, and they were talking and decided, well, you know what, instead of selling vacuums, let's do something meaningful with our lives. Let's spread God's word. And they decided, well, what are we going to call our organization? And they set upon the name the Gideons. Well, why the Gideons, you might ask? Well, I'm sure everybody in here knows the story of Gideon. But basically, Gideon was a messenger of God. And to make a long story short, Gideon was at first a very reluctant messenger of God. He had to have signs first. And once he had received those signs, he went forward and he did what God told him to do. But one of the key things that was required, or what that he used in the service of God, was a lantern. Okay? And that lantern, and along with the horn, was what was used to drive away the Midianite army. And this became our symbol. Okay? The symbol of the Gideons. And the basic key to, and I don't know how much of this you want to know, but I'll go ahead and explain it to you just so you know what we're all about. The circle of gold here, this reminds us that we, it has no beginning and no end. And the circle means that we belong to God. We're God's children, okay? To be born again. We're born again and we're born again under the kingdom of God. The background is blue, and it reminds us that we're part of the heavenly kingdom of God. All right, it reminds us of the sky. All right. The white pitcher that was used to carry water reminds us that we're pure. It's the purity of God. And then the red flame is the flame. It reminds us of the blood of Jesus. Okay, that's that simple. It's the blood of Jesus. So, ladies and gentlemen, that's the beginning of the Gideons. It came from traveling salesmen that decided to spread the word of God. Now, how can you help us? The key to how you can help us is this. We need your prayers. The Gideons are trying to spread our word in a time that is very troubled. As you know, and as you've heard today, you know, let's take Memorial Day for an example. Right now, we are at a very dark time in the United States. Let's just talk about some of the things that are going on in the United States right now. You're seeing the Jewish people persecuted throughout the United States. You're seeing them attacked in restaurants. You're seeing them persecuted throughout the country, not just here, but abroad. You're seeing a movement to defund police departments throughout the United States. You're seeing our military just taken down and badmouthed throughout the United States. Let me ask you if you saw this the other day on Fox News. There was a poll at a university the other day where young college students were asked to sign a petition to remove Memorial Day as a national holiday. And many, many, many of those college students signed that petition. Now, understand what they were doing. They were taking a national holiday in honor of servicemen and women who died for their right to A, live free, B, go to a college and learn, and C, be able to say what they wanted to say, and just strike that holiday. And they were going to sign that petition and do away with that holiday. We are living in a time when our kids are being taught that they can do that. We're living in a time when our police officers are being defunded. We're living in a time when the Jewish faith is being, in essence, wiped from the country, if they could. The Christian faith is being wiped from the country. We're living at a time when hate groups are running rampant throughout the country. Ladies and gentlemen, evil is moving across the country and across the face of the planet. We cannot get the Gideons into our schools. It's not allowed, but many other things are permitted into the schools. Transgenderism is being allowed into the schools. Homosexuality is being allowed into the schools, but you can't get a Bible into a school.
That's right.
Understand where we are.
Amen, brother.
So, what can you do for us? Pray for us. Pray for this country. Look where it's going. All you have to do is look where this country is going. Pray for us. Pray that we can get more access to the schools, to our young people, to our older people, to everyone. Pray for us. And if you have the wherewithal, the financial means to provide us financial support, then that would be wonderful. And in terms of the financial support, let me give you a little bit more background. $1.25 buys one of these, okay? $5 will buy one of these, okay? A complete Bible, King James Version. So, if you have the means, we'll take the financial support. If you don't, we covet the prayer. We'll take anything you can give us. And remember, not one penny goes to a salary. It all goes to these, and it all goes to enable me to talk somewhere. That's what it goes to. And I would ask you to think about that today, and I would ask you to continue to pray for us to allow us to get access anywhere we can go. And I thank you for allowing me to speak today.
Amen. You know, when I was a kid, every year when I attended the public school, my parents put me in a private school, a Christian school. But every year the Gideons would come to schools and hand out Bibles. And from what I understand, they're not allowed to do that anymore. And that's a sad thing, isn't it? And that was a good thing that they did. And I appreciate the ministry over the years of the Gideons. So, brother, it's been a real privilege to have you here with us today, you and your daughter. Thank you for being here. All right. Well, don't get nervous. I'm not going to preach too long. But I am going to preach. 1 Peter chapter 1, please. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18. The Bible says here, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto the unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you." And I didn't tell Les to pick this song or Ginger, but The title of my message today is Great Things He Hath Done. Great Things He Hath Done. His redemption is a great thing, isn't it? So let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for the Word of God. We thank you, Lord, for all it means to us. And we thank you most of all, Lord, for the spiritual blessings of this life and the one to come. Please bless your Word today. And thank you for the service thus far. Thank you for the songs. And we thank you for the presentation by Brother Robinson. And we ask now that that the Holy Spirit would open our eyes and our hearts and our ears, and Lord, that the name of Christ would be lifted up and that we'd go out of here rejoicing. Lord, if someone's lost, I pray that today would be the day that they look to you for salvation. And we ask these things in Jesus' name, and amen. Great things He hath done. Great things He hath done. He has done great things, has He not? Number one, we have a great redemption. We have a great redemption. Verse 18 says, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things of silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ." And I want to tell you today, first of all, that man outside of Christ is a slave to sin. Man outside of Christ is a slave to sin. That's why we need to be redeemed. Romans chapter 6 says, "But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness." Before a person is born again, they are a slave to sin. Jesus said in John chapter 8, "Whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin." Whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. This morning, I had to take Evelyn over to the Speedway. She wanted a French vanilla cappuccino. She was sleepy. But anyway, I was watching the people go in and out of there, and there were people going fishing, and there were people just lollygagging, we used to call it. People doing everything, but they weren't going to church. They weren't going to church. It was obvious that a lot of people, there's a lot of people all around us who could care less, are there not?
Amen.
And so people are slaves to sin. We are redeemed, the Bible says. We're redeemed from the slave market of sin. The child of God is also redeemed from the guilt of sin. The guilt of sin. Redeemed from the condemnation of sin. And we are redeemed from the wrath of God. Before a person is saved, they are under the wrath of God. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 5 says, "For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor any covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them." So, people that are lost and undone, they're condemned, the Bible says, already. They're not waiting to be condemned. They're condemned already. They're under the wrath of God. We need a Savior, don't we? We need a Redeemer. And God has provided us a Redeemer. Christ redeemed His people, the Bible says, with His own blood. With His own blood. It's priceless blood. It's priceless blood.
Amen.
It's precious blood. It's perfect blood. So, we have a great redemption. Secondly, we have a great Redeemer. We have a great Redeemer. Not only do we have a great redemption, we have a great Redeemer. Verse 19 says, "But with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest or revealed in these last times for you." Our Redeemer was foreordained. It was all part of the plan. Our Redeemer was foreordained. It was all according to God's plan. The death of Jesus Christ was not a tragic accident. The death of Jesus Christ was not a miscarriage of justice, though it was. That was not all it was. The death of Jesus Christ was part of God's redemption plan from the beginning. Look at Acts. Hold your place there in 1 Peter. Look at Acts 2, please, and verse 22. Acts 2 and verse 22. The Bible says this in the book of Acts. Chapter 2 and verse 22. "Ye men of Israel, Hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Him, being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. Jesus Christ is the spotless Lamb of God. Jesus Christ was the foreordained Lamb of God. Jesus Christ, He is the Lamb that taketh away the sin of the world. He's the Lamb that taketh away the sin of the world. And He is the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. And in 1 Peter again, in chapter 1, the Bible says, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. We have a great, I'm so thankful today for Jesus Christ. I'm so thankful that He came to this earth and lived a perfect life and died for my sins on the cross. I'm so thankful that He paid the debt that I could never pay. I'm glad today, as the brother said, you cannot work. If you could even try to work, you wouldn't make it. But you cannot work for salvation. It's something, listen, it's something that you and I can never pay. You can never pay. You can't say, well, from this day on, I'm 57 years old. I can't get up tomorrow morning and say, from this day on, I'm going to live a perfect life. Number one, that'll never happen. Number two, what about all my past sins? Only Christ can pay your sin debt, can He? I'm thankful today for a great redemption, and I'm thankful for a great Redeemer. I'm thankful for a great Redeemer. And then I want to mention that we have a great miracle. Number three, a great miracle. Verse 22, see, ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto the unfeigned love of the brethren. See that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again. The new birth is a miracle. The new birth is a miracle. The old Methodist preacher G.D. Watson said he called it a startling revelation. A startling revelation. He went on to say this. He said, the world seems new. When a person is born again, the world seems new. He said, the Bible seems new. It's a new book when you get saved. The atonement, it's not that Christ died, it's that Christ died for me. The atonement becomes personal. He said God turns people's lives upside down. You know, that's what they fussed about the apostles in the New Testament, wasn't it? He said that these bunch of guys have come here. It's the same bunch that is turning the world upside down. I don't know if you've noticed or not, but the world's turned upside down and it needs flipped over. We're in a mess. People are calling good evil and evil good. We need the world turned upside down. Thank God for some folks that are trying to get the Word of God out to people. He went on to say that salvation is a life-changing thing. The new birth. You must be born again, Jesus said. It's as radical as anything known to man, the new birth. And it's a miracle.
Amen.
The new birth is a miracle. James 1:18 says, of His own will begat He us with the Word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. That I'm thankful today for His great redemption. I'm thankful today for a great Redeemer. And I'm thankful for a great miracle. It's a miracle. Salvation is a miracle, isn't it? It is. God does the impossible. When he births people again, when he births people into the kingdom of God, He does the impossible. You remember when Jesus was dealing with the rich young ruler and He went away sorrowful, and His disciples looked at Jesus and said, who then can be saved? And He said, with man, it's impossible. But with God, all things are possible. In other words, it's not something man can do. It has to be God, the new birth. Has to be the Lord. It's a great redemption. It's a great Redeemer. And it's a great miracle. John Wesley, who was by no means a Calvinist, he said this. He said only the God that created could create a world, could create a new heart. God, listen, God has to do it. I can't do it. You can't do it. God has to do it. He'll take His Word. He'll take His Word. And He will bring people to life by the Word of God. It's not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed. It's by the Word of God. I'm thankful for a great promise. I'm thankful for a great promise. Verse 24 says, "For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you." I'm thankful today for a great promise. I'm thankful for a great promise. Peter here is quoting from the book of Isaiah. The Bible says in Isaiah 48, "The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever." I want to tell you something today. When this world crumbles, this Bible will stand forever. When every political leader is dead, this Bible is still going to stand. When every God-hater is in hell, this Bible is going to stand. This Bible is forever. This Bible is forever. It's a great promise, isn't it? Why is it a great promise? Because I have staked my soul on this Bible. I have said, "Lord, this is what you said, and I believe it, and I trust Jesus Christ to be my Savior." And it all rests right here on this book. If this Bible's wrong, we're all wrong. But I got some good news for you today. This Bible's not wrong.
Amen, brother.
This Bible is not wrong. And it's going to stand forever. It's going to stand. While the world's on fire, this Bible's going to stand. This Bible's going to stand. The Bible says all the flesh is as grass. You and I, we're all like grass. We're going to get mowed down one day, aren't we? I hate to be negative. Don't get discouraged, but I hate to tell you, one of these days you're going to die. Nobody. Hey, listen, that's just going to happen, isn't it? It's going to happen. One of these days, you're going to die. We're going to get mowed down, the Bible says. Like the flowers in the field out here. What's going to matter? There's only one thing that's going to matter, friend. Do you know Jesus Christ? That's it. The only thing that's going to matter is if you've trusted Jesus Christ to be your Savior. It's not going to matter how much money you had. It's not going to matter what kind of job or career you had. It's not going to matter what kind of house. And I'm for having all, do all you want to. But I'm just telling you, when you get to that day, there's nothing else going to matter. The only thing that's going to matter is have I trusted my soul? Have I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ? And I want to tell you today, there's a great promise if you have. There's a great promise. The glory of man, even the glory of man, is like the flowers in the grass. I've been reading a book about the gulags in Soviet times, and the writer was talking about there was a man there who somehow or another he got entangled in Russia, and he was a Greek prince, and he ended up in one of those gulags. Could you imagine? If you don't know what those are, you got to look it up, because I think our country might be moving in that direction. It's where they put you if they don't like you. It's where they re-educate you and use you as slave labor. But anyway, the point I was going to make is that man went there as a Greek. He was part of nobility. And he went there, but guess what? When he got to that gulag, with the rest of those, when he rode that train pulled into that station and they herded him off into those buildings, he was different. He was not different than any other person there. I'm trying to tell you today, there's coming a day, it's not going to matter who you were in this world. I don't care if you're the president or a prince. It doesn't matter if you're a pauper. You're going to stand before God Almighty. And the only thing that's going to matter on that day is, are you under the blood? Have you been redeemed? Redeemed and so happy in Jesus. Are you redeemed? Are you redeemed? Even in our best days, you know what? As some of us get older, we realize that our best days might be behind us. But even in your best days, you're just like that flower in the field, aren't you? On your best days. But I want to tell you today, His Word is eternal. His Word is eternal. His promises are eternal. Isn't it great to know? I don't know about you, but isn't it great to know that if something happened to you today, that it's all right with you?
Yes, sir.
Isn't that a wonderful thought? I mean, your family would miss you, I'm sure, and your friends would miss you, I'm sure. But isn't it wonderful to know that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord? Isn't that a great thing? His promises are sure, aren't they? His promises are sure, and the gospel is eternal. The gospel's eternal. Listen, the Bible says if a guy gets 70, he's done pretty good. We've made such advances in health care that a lot of people live longer than that in this country, don't they? But the Bible says if a guy makes it to 70, but I want you to think about that. 70 years. What is 70 years compared to eternity? It's nothing. It's nothing. You better prepare for eternity is what I'm getting at. I'm going to quit. I want to ask you in closing, do you know this great Redeemer? Do you know this great Redeemer? Do you know the forgiveness of sins? Do you know the forgiveness of sins? We sing the hymn, we used to, I guess we still do. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. The burden, this burden of sin, I don't know about you, but I know what it feels like to be forgiven. To be forgiven. Have you been forgiven? Do you know His forgiveness? Great things He hath done. Great things He hath done. And my hope is in Him. My hope is in Him. My hope is not in the Baptist. My hope is not in the government, obviously. Really, there are people, that's what they hope. They hope the government's going to help them out somehow. But listen, you better give up on that. Yeah. Amen. My hope is in Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And what He did for my sin debt. Mm-hmm. And He paid a price for my soul. And I trusted Him. And I'm trusting Him. Have you trusted Him? Mm-hmm. Have you trusted Him? He's my Redeemer. Can you say that today? He's my Redeemer. Brother Les, you come ahead.